Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer with my colleague Svetlana Lakova, the spy who changed history, the untold story of how the Soviet Union stole America's top secrets. We've stolen aircraft secrets, certainly. We've stolen Ford mass production secrets, certainly. But now the two big ones, to end the war and begin the Cold War, the atomic bomb, the Manhattan Project, and the B-29 that delivers the atomic bomb to Japan but can deliver it to the Soviet Union. We begin with the atomic bomb. Avakmian is supervising this from Moscow. He's left America. He's back at Moscow Center. He has daily correspondence with a man named Igor Kurchatov, who will eventually become the man in charge of the Soviet atomic project. But first, they have to steal it. And that requires a man named Semyonov. So this is Avakmian, the wily Armenian, who is supervising all of these operations that we know as the penetration and stealing of the atomic bomb. So, Svetlana, this is masterful on their part. They get inside the Manhattan Project early. Who is Semyonov? What does he do? And how does Avakmian translate all of this to Moscow? How does he do it on being watched? The FBI has been inept in the 1930s, but everybody's watching very carefully at the project, the Manhattan Project. How do they get inside?
Well, first of all, Sam Semyonov is somebody who arrives among with other four students at MIT in 1939. And this is now a path that's been created by Stanislav Shumovsky. And in fact, Shumovsky gets them places at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He arranges for their accommodation. He makes sure, you know, they're settled in. And he effectively trains them of how to be scientist spies. And this is all under now supervision of Avakmian. Sam Semyonov's pseudonym is Twain, like Mark Twain, the famous author, because this is his favorite author. So again, you know, they give very often code names in the Soviet NKVD according to people's hobbies. So Bleria was code name for Shumovsky because of the aviation. Twain is code name for Semyonov because he likes to read
Mark Twain. His code name.
Yes, Twain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Tvian in Russian, yeah, but Mark Twain, yeah, Twain. And he arrives and he's described as a small ball of energy. So he's a Russian Jew from Odessa. So he's somebody who is, you know, full of life, a little bit, you know, less disciplined than Shumovsky. So, for example, there was some episode that Shumovsky and Avakmian had to fix where I think they wanted to buy some golden watch to take back home. And Shumovsky and Avakmian were much stricter about it. They were not into financial possessions or material possessions. Whereas this new lot are a little bit more, you know, they also want to do good things for their motherland, but they also want to, you know, have a good time having it. So I think Shumovsky kind of had to deal with an episode where a gold watch was not allowed for Avakmian to buy and, you know, take back later. So in any way, they have a commando, Semyonov rather. So Semyonov is a life and soul of a party, somebody who is very, doesn't come across as a spy. Somebody who is chatty, charming, and a company, you know, can join any company, any group of people. And so he is also studying at MIT, also in the field of SNT, and he starts developing this network of contacts. And what's very, very interesting about this is, although we're about to talk about something really important and significant as an atomic bomb, but at that point, Semyonov was helping to take the secrets of anything anything. So, for example, he was involved in obtaining the secrets of penicillin that Americans invented, but they would not give to Russians. And of course, Russians were, you know, needed it to, you know, for the war effort. So Semyonov or Twain helped to take to steal that. He also was helping Molotov's wife to obtain secrets of perfumes, of American perfumes, because she started the perfume industry in Soviet Union. So the point I'm trying to make is any secret that America has, from perfume to atomic bomb, the Soviets are going to get hold of, and Semyonov is their man. So he. So the way the Manhattan Project worked is it was spread around the country, and Avakamyan and early on Avakamyan realized that that he used to study international science magazines and journals because you know scientists from Germany, from US, from everywhere else used to share their findings. So the Soviets were aware that there was some work being in progress about the development of atomic energy, and suddenly all this information disappeared. So they needed to figure out what happened, and then they realized that a lot of scientists ended up in America. And they started investigating what are they working on. And Semyonov, through his network of contacts, was able to obtain information that he sent to Avakamyan, who then sent it to Moscow, that indeed they were working on the atomic bomb. And then the question was, okay, how can Russians get hold of that? So security was very, very tight at Los Alamos. So they were able to put in one of their people. There was a Jewish guy called Koval. And he was able to get a job, this American Jew, he was able, of Russian origin, who was able to get a job at Los Alamos, but he didn't have access to the top secret. So he could obtain a lot of information, but not the top secret. I mean, Oakwell. But the most important progress came when Sam Semyonov managed to recruit Klaus Fuchs. So Klaus Fuchs was a Jew, who of German origin, and he had was involved in this really horrible situation where they've interned all Germans, including Jews, because you know there was the rules of the war, and he was deeply affected by his experience of being in prison together with Germans, and also he was ideologically pro-communist, pro-Soviet. So Sam Semyonov was able to recruit him. And it was through Fuchs that the Soviets were able to get this important technology.
All right, that's the atomic bomb. Now, in order to use the atomic bomb, you have to deliver it. That requires a long-range bomber. We used the B-29. The assumption at the time was the B-29s that landed in Siberia, having engine troubles during the latter part of the war, that Tupolev copied them. But you say that that's not true, that Shumovsky and his work took the secrets from the B-29. Is that correct?
Correct. So Shumovsky's dissertation, master's dissertation, so after he got bachelor's from MIT, he then went on to do master's. And his dissertation essentially is about a high-altitude bomber, including the technology of how to make it from Massachusetts Institute of Technology. But also it was very important to be able to figure out how to pressurize the cabin, because obviously when you fly at this height, you need to have the pressure. And so he was already very well versed in the production of this technology. And then later on, when Nazis attacked Soviet Union, Shumovsky was kicked out of the United States. He was working at the embassy in 1939 because of the Soviet war with Finland. But when Nazis attacked Germany, he comes back to, so when Nazis attack Soviet Union, Shumovsky comes back to America now as part of the Lend-Lease program. And by this stage, he's a colonel, so he's opening his Soviet military uniform. He's there with a video camera, and he's allowed to go film anything. And Americans want to give Soviet Union pretty much anything they want, because they obviously want to help Russian people, and they also obviously don't want American soldiers to be involved in the war, so they need to keep Russians fighting. And so they could get hold of a lot of technology, for example, Aero Cobra, which was, you know, pretty... not the greatest aircraft that America needed, but it worked really well in eastern France. They got, you know, a lot of other good stuff, but the Flying Fortress, and then later the Super Fortress, which is the bomber, they were not allowed to officially have. But unofficially, Shumovsky was able to visit the places where this planes were being produced and filmed the technology, and nobody stopped him. And also that he was able to buy parts that they needed.
So Avak Mayan supervised the theft of the atomic bomb secrets and the innovation that led to the Tupolev 4. Is that correct? Both weapon systems were a product of Avak Mayan and Soviet intelligence.
Correct. And it got to the point, so I quote in my book Documents, where Kurchatov will write to Avak Mayan, I believe that the speed of electrons or protons or whatever is involved in the making of the atomic bomb is X. Can you check, is this correct? And then the command would go and give the orders to America or any other countries where they had agents in to obtain this information and give it back to Kurchatov. So Kurchatov, as a scientist who was working on the atomic bomb, was working in conjunction with intelligence services on constant basis, backwards and forwards. And that allowed the Soviet Union to build the atomic bomb much sooner than expected, to the point where, you know, there's a very famous scene at the Yalta conference where Truman tries to threaten Stalin by saying that they have something amazing. And Stalin knew about the atomic project, the American project, atomic project, way before Truman did, because Truman, as a vice president, it was being kept secret from him. And Truman thought that Stalin didn't understand what Truman was talking about, but Stalin knew very, very well, because, of course, they've developed their atomic bomb pretty much in line with when America developed theirs.
So the reason the Soviets exploded a bomb so quickly is that they'd been working on the project before the end of the war. They already knew what the project was.
And that's right. And they specifically tested the exact copy of the Fat Man, because they already knew that that would work. They actually had a better model already, but they wanted to test the Fat Man because they knew that would be a successful experiment.
The Fat Man was the second bomb, the one that struck Nagasaki. Now, whatever happened to, when we come back, The Spy Who Changed History, Shumovsky, The Untold Story of How the Soviet Union Stole America's Top Secrets. You bet they did. And were they rewarded for it? Some were, and some remain not given credit for the scale of their success.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.